पथ गल आचार्य ठाकुर प्रभु कथा गला आचार्य ठाकुर स्वरूप रूप कह सनातन कह मोर स्वरूप रूप कह सनातन कहा दास रघुनाथ पतित पाव कहा दास रघुनाथ पतित पाव कह मोर भक्त युग कह कबीरा कह मोर भक्त युग कह कबीरा एक काल कथा गला गौरन करा एक काल कथा गला गौरन करा अषण कुटिब माथा अनल पशिब अषण कुटिब माथा अनल पशिब गौरांग गुनर निधि कथा गेल पाब गौरांग गुनर निधि कथा गेल पाब सब संगी संगे जे कोइलो बिलास से सब संगी संगे जे कोइलो बिलास से संग न पाइया कांदे नरोतम दास से संग न पाइया कांदे नरोतम दास हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे जनावल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jai Krishna Balaram. Jai Radha, Shyama Sundara Radha, Shyama Sundara Radha. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaura Hari Bol.
परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत विश्वान गृह सफल चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय। श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय। श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय। श्री रघुनाथ दास गोस्वामी की जय। श्री रघुनाथ भट्ट गोस्वामी की जय। श्री कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunnilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Roop Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sattvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurat Prashe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haritriye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shrivasadi Gauru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So with the permission of Maharaj and the assembled devotees, I would like to begin speaking a few words on these three great acharyas. As I was preparing for this class, I was in a great dilemma because there is so much to say about each of them. And they all happen to have disappeared on this day. So I thought that I would like to start with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, speak at length on him, and briefly talk about Raghunath Das Goswami and Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, because in the last few months extensive discussion has taken place on them in the Srimad Bhagavatam classes. Today is the Shukla Dwadashi in the month of Ashwin, the 12th day in the bright fortnight in the month of Ashwin. And we may think today is Ekadashi, but actually it overlaps. So therefore on the Ekadashi calendar day, we also have the Tithi of the Dwadashi where these three great acharyas disappeared. So we will begin talking, speaking on Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is of course best known for the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the priceless jewel, giving us all kinds of philosophy and information and pastimes and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually speaking, not much is known about Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami personally, about his birth, about his former name, because Krishnadas was his spiritual name. Not much is known about his marital status, his family background and so on. But the Gaudiya Vaishnava Abhidhana mentions that his mother's name was Sunanda and his father's name was Bhagirath. In the 5th chapter of the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj gives a brief hint of his origins. Some brief biography is there in his own words. That's where he got the dream of when Nityanand Prabhu appeared to him to go to Vrindavan. That was in a place called Chamatpura. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami appeared in this world in the year 1520 AD. He lived a long life and he departed from this world on this tithi in the year 1616. 10 years after him, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur appeared, who wrote the famous Chaitanya Bhagavat, based on which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not much is known about his varna also, of his birth. Some say he was born in a Brahmin family because he had the title Kaviraj, and because also he was so learned in the Shastras, as is clear from his any reading of his Chaitanya Charitamrita. Some say that he was a Vaidya, because the title Kaviraj is given to Vaidyas, Ayurvedic physicians. And some say that he was a Kayastha, because when describing Raghunath Das Goswami's managerial qualities in his Purvashram as a Grihastha, he said to exhibit some soft corner for that kind of description. But be that as it may, for Vaishnavas it is not important what kind of family they take birth in, what is their so-called caste and so on and so forth. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was a Paramhamsa Vaishnava. He was an eternal associate of the Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions in one of his purports that in Krishna Leela in Goloka Vrindavan, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is either Ratna Rekha Manjari or Kasturi Manjari. So I would like to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, 5th chapter, from text 180 onwards, which give us some indication of how Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami actually came to Vrindavan. That's a very fascinating episode. Actually, when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam, it is so wonderful to be able to read all the verses and relish the verses themselves. But since we don't have the time to do that, I will just read the translations of the concerned verses. and would leave it to all of you to go back and relish the verses in your own residences. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing the glories of Lord Nityananda. This is the title of this chapter. And in the course of this description, he wants to give some examples of the wonderful qualities and mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, "Now I shall describe another characteristic of his mercy, that is Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. That night, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream because of my good quality in chastising my brother." Now the background to this very briefly is that there was a great follower, a devotee of Lord Nityananda called Meena Ketana Ramadas. He came one day to the house of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and Meena Ketana Ramadas was a very astonishing devotee. He was always in the trance of ecstatic devotional, and he would behave sometimes very differently. He would sometimes climb on somebody's shoulder in the trance of devotion. Sometimes he would mildly slap someone. Sometimes he would mildly beat someone with his flute. And everyone who was present there became very attracted to his devotional qualities, and they offered him all respect. There was a Brahmin priest called Gunalnama Mishra who was worshipping the deities at the time that Meena Ketana Ramadas entered. And he continued to worship the deity and did not formally offer respect to Meena Ketana Ramadas. So Meena Ketana Ramadas considered this to be an offense, not to himself but to Lord Nityananda, because he was such a devout follower of Lord Nityananda. So he became upset. And he said, "Look, here is another Roma Harshana Suta who did not offer respect to Balaram when Balaram entered the assembly as Roma Harshana Suta was discoursing on the Puranas." We all know, of course, from the Srimad Bhagavatam that eventually Lord Balaram killed Roma Harshana Suta with just a blade of grass. So because of that displeasure of Meena Ketana Ramadas, the brother Gunalnama Mishra left eventually. He didn't take it very seriously. But the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj, whose name was Shyamdas Kaviraj, this is mentioned in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Vidhan, he took up cudgels with Meena Ketana Ramadas. Because Shyamdas Kaviraj was a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he didn't have much faith in Nityananda Prabhu. So in the ensuing argument with Meena Ketana Ramadas, Meena Ketana became very upset and he broke his flute on his thighs and he departed. And because of this displeasure, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that his brother was destined to lose whatever devotion he had. In that argument, Krishnadas Kaviraj took sides with Meena Ketana Ramadas and he actually rebuked his brother. And he told him that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu are actually one in identity. You do not understand who they are. And anyone who distinguishes between them is actually committing a great offense. To have faith in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and simultaneously not have faith in Nityananda Prabhu is like the Ardha Kukutti Nyaya, the logic of the half hen. Where there was the farmer, he wanted just the backside of a hen that laid golden eggs. But he didn't want the front side of the hen because he would have to incur expenditure for feeding that hen. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, you can't follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and not follow Nityananda Prabhu. That's very offensive. So because of doing so, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami incurred the boundless mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And then that very night, after this quarrel ensued, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was fast asleep, then Lord Nityananda appeared to him in the dream. So that's the background here. In the village, I quote again from this Chaitanya Charitamrita, In the village of Jhamatpur, which is near Naihati, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream. I fell at his feet, offering my obeisances, and he then placed his own lotus feet upon my head. "Arise, get up," he told me again and again. Upon rising, I was greatly astonished to see his beauty. He had a glossy blackish complexion, and his tall, strong, heroic stature made him seem like Cupid himself. He had beautifully formed hands, arms and legs, and eyes like lotus flowers. He wore a silk cloth with a silk turban on his head. He wore golden earrings on his ears and golden armlets and bangles. He wore tinkling anklets on his feet and a garland of flowers around his neck. His body was anointed with sandalwood pulp, and he was nicely decorated with tilak. His movements surpassed those of a maddened elephant. His face was more beautiful than millions upon millions of moons, and his teeth were like pomegranate seeds because of his chewing betel. His body moved to and fro, right and left, for he was absorbed in ecstasy. He chanted Krishna, Krishna in a deep voice. His red stick moving in his hand, he seemed like a maddened lion. All around the four sides of his feet were bumblebees. His devotees, dressed like cowherd boys, surrounded his feet like so many bees and also chanted Krishna, Krishna, absorbed in ecstatic love. Some of them played horns and flutes, and others danced and sang. Some of them offered betel nuts, and others waved chamara fans about him. Thus I saw such opulence in Lord Nityananda Swarup. His wonderful form, qualities and pastimes are all transcendental. I was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, not knowing anything else. Then Lord Nityananda smiled and spoke to me as follows. O my dear Krishna Das, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. Vrindavana jaho taho sarva labhya hai. Labhya means benefit. All things will be available to you. After saying this, he directed me towards Vrindavan by waving his hand. Then he disappeared with all his associates. I fainted and fell to the ground, and my dream broke. And when I regained consciousness, I saw that morning had come. I thought about what I had seen and heard and concluded that the Lord had ordered me to proceed to Vrindavan at once. That very second, I started for Vrindavan, and by His mercy, I reached there in great happiness. All glory to Lord Nityananda Balaram, by whose mercy I have attained shelter in that transcendental abode of Vrindavan. All glory to the merciful Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Rup and Sri Sanatana. By His mercy, I have attained the shelter of the great personality, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. And by His mercy, I have found the refuge of Sri Swarup Damodar. By the mercy of Sanatana Goswami, I have learned the final conclusions of devotional service, and by the grace of Sri Rupa Goswami, I have tasted the highest nectar of devotional service. All glory to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained Sri Radha Govinda. I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai, and even lower than the worms in the stool. So Krishnadas Kaviraj is exhibiting his incomparable genuine humility here. Anyone who hears my name loses the results of his pious activities. Anyone who utters my name becomes sinful. Who in this world but Nityananda could show his mercy to such an abominable person like me? Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. He delivers all those who fall down before Him. Therefore He has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. Although I am sinful and I am the most fallen, he has conferred upon me the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami. I am not fit to speak all these confidential words about my visiting Lord Madan Gopal and Lord Govinda. Lord Madan Gopal, the chief deity of Vrindavan, is the enjoyer of the Rasa dance and is directly the son of the king of Raja. He enjoys the Rasa dance with Srimati Radharani, Sri Lalita and others. He manifests himself as a Cupid of Cupids. And then he goes on to describe Krishna's various pastimes here in Vrindavan and how everyone, including Brahma and Lakshmi, are meditating on this. And then he says, Lord Nityananda said, in Vrindavan all things are possible. Here I have explained his brief statement in detail. I have attained all this by coming to Vrindavan, and this was made possible by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. I have described my own story without reservations. The attributes of Lord Nityananda, making me like a madman, forced me to write these things. So when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami speaks in this mood about his so-called bad qualities, we should understand, of course, that he is speaking from genuine humility, something that cannot be imitated. And he's describing his good fortune in coming to Vrindavan. And by describing Krishna's pastimes with the gopis here, he is trying to narrate and give an understanding of how great his fortune is. When Nityananda Prabhu said that go and you will attain all desirable things in Vrindavan, these are the desirable things that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has understood. That this is what is worthy of attaining in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Any discussion on Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is of course incomplete without his Chaitanya Charitamrita. Therefore we are trying to discuss more, reading directly, because this is the work directly of Krishnadas Kaviraj. This is his magnum opus, his greatest work. Actually, he wrote three books. Apart from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he also wrote the Govinda Leelamrita. And because of this work, it was Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan who gave him the title Kaviraj. Kaviraj is given, the title is awarded to someone who is a very, very great scholar, a Vaishnava scholar. He also wrote a commentary on the Krishna Karanamrita, the famous work of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Of these three, of course, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is most well known. The subject matter for the Chaitanya Charitamrita comes from the notes of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami was very familiar with the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was personally present there. The earlier pastimes, the Adi Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was witnessed personally by Murari Gupta, and he recorded these in his karchas, in his notes. And Vrindavan Das Thakur extensively used those notes also for making his Chaitanya Bhagavat. So the earlier pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are primarily taken from Murari Gupta's notes, and the later pastimes from Swarup Damodar's notes. So Swarup Damodar Goswami, he composed various beautiful Sanskrit verses depicting the various pastimes and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his later days, the Madhya Leela and the Antya Leela, especially the Antya Leela. And then he instructed Raghunath Das Goswami, who was serving under him, to memorize those verses. Raghunath Das Goswami came to the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri and lived as a renunciant. And Mahaprabhu ordered Raghunath Das Goswami to take instruction from Swarup Damodar. So Swarup Damodar instructed Raghunath Das Goswami to memorize all those verses and then broadcast them all over. Raghunath Das Goswami did just that. When Raghunath Das Goswami came back to Vrindavan after the departure of Mahaprabhu, which we shall discuss shortly, when he spoke on Chaitanya Leela for 3 hours every day on the banks of Radhakund. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was one of those who heard with rapt attention. And he also personally spent a lot of time with Raghunath Das Goswami. It is said that he accepted Diksha from Raghunath Das Goswami, although there are some who say that he accepted Diksha directly from Lord Nityananda. But in any case, it is a fact that he had a lot of personal association with Raghunath Das Goswami, and he heard Chaitanya Leela personally from him. So this was the basis of the notes of the from which eventually Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Himself also, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami acknowledges this fact. And because his work, Chaitanya Charitamrita, was so intimately connected to Chaitanya Bhagavat, so he also glorifies Vrindavan Das Thakur. Basically, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami considers the Chaitanya Charitamrita to be like an appendix or a supplement to Chaitanya Bhagavat. Many times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita he mentions that actually the main work is Chaitanya Bhagavat. I am just filling in the gaps. That's his mood. His mood is that, you know, I am not authorized even to speak about and write about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The authorized person is Vrindavan Das Thakur, who has compiled his Chaitanya Mangal, which later on became Chaitanya Bhagavat, because Lochan Das Thakur also wrote a book of the same name. But he says, in a mood of humility, I am just chewing the remnants of what Vrindavan Das Thakur has left behind. So I would like to read again from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 4, just 2 verses where he glorifies Vrindavan Das Thakur. He says here, by nature all the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very wonderful and sweet. And when they are described by Vrindavan Das Thakur, they become like a shower of nectar. Therefore I very humbly submit that since these incidents have already been nicely described by Vrindavan Das Thakur, I would be very proud to repeat the same thing. And this would not be very good. I do not have such powers. I am therefore presenting only a synopsis of those events already described elaborately by Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur in his Chaitanya Mangala, now known as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Some of the incidents he did not describe elaborately, but only summarized, and these I shall try to describe in this book. I thus offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur. I hope that I will not offend his lotus feet by this action. This is his mood. And then further in the Adi Leela, the 8th chapter also, from text 35 onwards, he continues the same theme. I continue to read. Thakur Vrindavan Das has composed Sri Chaitanya Mangala. Here in this book annihilates all misfortune. By reading Sri Chaitanya Mangala, one can understand all the glories and truths of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda and come to the ultimate conclusion of devotional service to Lord Krishna. In the Chaitanya Mangala, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has given the conclusion and essence of devotional service by quoting the authoritative statements of Srimad Bhagavata. If even a great atheist hears Sri Chaitanya Mangala, he immediately becomes a great devotee. The subject matter of this book is so sublime that it appears that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally spoken through the writings of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. I offer millions of obeisances unto the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur. No one else could write such wonderful books, such a wonderful book, for the deliverance of all fallen souls. He continues this description in the 13th chapter. The notes kept by Sri Swarup Damodar and Murari Gupta are the basis of this book. Following these notes, I write all these pastimes of the Lord. The notes have been elaborately described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, the authorized writer of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is as good as Srila Vyasadeva. He has described the pastimes in such a way as to make them sweeter and sweeter. Being afraid of his books becoming too voluminous, he left some places without vivid descriptions. I shall try to fill those places as far as possible. The transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya have actually been relished by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. I am simply trying to chew the remnants of food left by him. So this is his mood. This is the basis of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, the background is that Chaitanya Bhagavat being composed by another eternal associate of the Lord, Vrindavan Das Thakur. This author was so absorbed in trance as he was narrating this and writing this, he got carried away when it came to the descriptions of Lord Nityananda. In the earlier parts of Chaitanya Bhagavat, he had given a synopsis or an outline of what he was proposing to narrate in greater detail in the later part of the text. But as he came into the pastimes of Lord Nityananda, he got so absorbed in that subject matter that he somehow didn't finish the elaborate descriptions of the earlier, of the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then the devotees in Vrindavan were very eager to hear that. Every day in the Govinda's temple, the Vaishnavas would assemble and hear from Sri Haridas Pandit, from Chaitanya Bhagavat. So they also understood that there was a certain section of pastimes that was not there in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So then all these assembled Vaishnavas, they approached Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami and requested him to compile these pastimes. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was very apprehensive, thinking himself completely unqualified. And in front of the deity of Madan Mohan, when all the assembled Vaishnavas were there, the garland that was around the neck of the deity, it fell down. And everyone understood this to be the desire of the Lord, that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami should indeed write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The pujari came and offered the garland to Krishna Das Kaviraj, who accepted it upon his chest with great reverence and devotion, and accepted that as the order of the Lord. And he began to work on this. He expresses his debt to Lord Madan Mohan. And he says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that actually the Chaitanya Charitamrita is not my work. It was dictated by Lord Madan Mohan. I am simply repeating like a parrot. And just as a puppeteer controls a puppet, similarly I am controlled. I am simply writing as a puppet writes. And later in the Madhya Leela, also Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes that I am very, very old as I am writing this book. I am extremely invalid. My hand is trembling as I write. I am practically blind and I am also practically deaf. And somehow or the other, I continue to write this work, Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is indeed a great wonder. So this is the situation or the background in which Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami compiled his magnum opus, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, because he was fearing that he may leave this world at any time, in the Adi Leela itself, he has given a synopsis of the Antya Leela. Similarly, we see a parallel in the life of Srila Prabhupada. That Prabhupada was in a great rush to finish his translation work because he feared that he could leave any time. And therefore, even before he began the translations of the later cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he actually wrote the summary of the 10th canto as the Krishna book. And he popularized this all over the world because he did not know whether he would live long enough to be able to translate the 10th canto verse by verse. So in a similar way, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, we can see he also had some synopsis of the Antya Leela and the Adi Leela. And then he went on as a miracle to finish the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita text. There is one wonderful pastime which illustrates the authoritativeness of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and which also illustrates how great a devotee Krishna Das Kaviraj was, and that the greatest, deepest esoteric truths of Krishna consciousness were actually revealed to him, and that every word of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually absolute truth. When Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur many years later was writing a commentary on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he came to the Matya Leela, and he became a little puzzled because Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami mentions there that the Kama Gayatri Mantra has 24 and a half syllables instead of 25. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he has described this incident in the Mantrartha Deepika, part of his commentary. And he says he just could not understand how there were 24 and a half syllables instead of 25. Which was that which was the half syllable? He tried his level best, he read various scriptures, and he became so distraught with grief that he thought that there is no purpose to my living if I don't understand this secret. So he went thinking that I am going to commit suicide. I cannot bear to live a moment longer. And somehow or the other, as he went, he fell asleep, and in that slumber, Srimati Radharani personally appeared to him. And she said, "My dear Vishwanath, do not worry. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj is my very intimate associate, and everything he has said is completely true. He is blessed with complete understanding of all the esoteric truths of divine love. Yes, the Kama Gayatri Mantra indeed has 24 and a half syllables and not 25. In the Varnagama Bhaswat it is mentioned that whenever there is a year followed by a V, that year is to be considered a half syllable. So then this great mystery was revealed to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It was a great secret. And Vishwanath Chakravarti was so relieved and so blissful to understand this. And then he also further and further understood the greatness of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So this way Krishna Das Kaviraj contributed many, many wonderful things to our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, to the whole world, by giving us these texts. He performed his bhajan and the banks of Shyamkund at the Manasa Pavana Kund, in the place where Srimati Radharani takes her midday bath. He resided there for many years. His samadhi is there. It is also said that his samadhi is here in Radha Damodar Mandir. In the Prem Bhakti Chandrika, Sri Narottam Das Thakur has mentioned one verse which I would like to read, glorifying Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He says, "Krishna Das Kaviraj Rasika Bhaktamaj Jeho Koilo Chaitanya Charita Gaura Govinda Leela Shunite Galaya Shila Tahatina Hilo Mora Chitta." He says that Krishna Das Kaviraj is the foremost among the Rasika Bhaktas, the connoisseur amongst all Rasika Vaishnavas. And he has narrated the Leela of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when even stones hear the narrations that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has made on the pastimes of Gaur and Govinda Leela, even they melt. But my consciousness is so stone-like, harder than the stone, that there is no change or influence on my mind. Narottam Das Thakur is revealing his own humility and at the same time glorifying Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami ki jai. Shri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Tirubhaktithi ki jai. Today is also the disappearance day of Raghunath Das Goswami, another of the great Goswamis, one of the six Goswamis who came here to reside in Vrindavan. In Krishna Leela, he is Rasa Manjari, some say he is Rati Manjari, and Gaura Ganodesha Deepika says in addition he is also Bhanumati Gopi. So this is the verdict of the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita there is very extensive description of the pastimes of Raghunath Das Goswami. One of the reasons for this of course is that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had so much intimate association with Raghunath Das Goswami, and therefore he heard first hand from him all these his narrations. So it is not possible today for us to narrate in detail all these. So very briefly I will just skip through these narrations just point by point, and then we'll come and focus on his residence in Vrindavan. He was born in 1494 and he disappeared in 1586 here in Braja. So that means he lived for actually 92 years, long life. He was the son of a very, very wealthy Vaishnava devotee called Govardhan Majumdar. By today's standards, he would have been a billionaire. Even as a child, he had the association of Srila Haridas Thakur and other Vaishnavas, because of which he developed an intense desire to dedicate his life to the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna. Even as a young man, because he exhibited such traits of renunciation, his parents, being very fearful that he would leave home and go away, got him married to a very beautiful young lady. But even this did not tie him down, and he kept running away from home to get the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And each time, Govardhan Majumdar would send many, many guards, and they would find him somehow or other and bring him back home. And he was always guarded day and night, lest he escape again. Finally, of course, he managed to escape and attain the complete shelter of Mahaprabhu. On one of his previous visits, Mahaprabhu had instructed him to not be a Markat Vairagi, a false renunciate. Stay in the Grihastha Ashram. Act as if you are attached, but internally be detached. That was his instruction. And he said, the time will come when you can renounce and come and join me. So as a Grihastha, he lived externally as if he was just another businessman. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see a very wonderful exhibition of his worldly qualities also. As a businessman, he managed to pacify one Turkish tax collector who was very angry with his father and uncle, because the father had not paid the proper taxes to the Nawab. And with great diplomacy and tact, Raghunath Das Goswami, by speaking very sweetly, managed to pacify the Turkish Chaudhary. So these pastimes are all described here. And he got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Panihati Chira Dahi festival. Lord Nityananda Prabhu bestowed his incomparable mercy upon him. He put his foot on his head and said, you will very soon attain the shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometime thereafter, Raghunath Das Goswami managed to escape for good. He attained shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri and led a life of such renunciation that it is impossible for us to even imagine following. Mahaprabhu was internally very, very pleased. I would request all the devotees to study the relevant portions of the Chaitanya Charitamrita where these descriptions are there. At the end, he would even go to the portion on one side of Jagannath temple where all the stale prasadam, Jagannath prasadam, would be thrown away by the pujaris and the shopkeepers. And even the cows would not eat that. Even the cows would find it not worthy to eat. And Raghunath Das Goswami would go there, get a few grains of the prasadam, Mahaprasadam, wash it, and then take those grains and be satisfied. Mahaprabhu was extremely pleased. And in this way, Raghunath Das Goswami stayed for 16 years in Jagannath Puri. His sadhana was like lines on a stone. This means that just as a line and stone can never be erased, so also his sadhana was so strong, rock-like. You could never shake his sadhana and his faith. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared, after 16 years of Raghunath Das Goswami staying in Puri in his association, the separation was unbearable for Raghunath Das. And he could not stay in Puri any longer. He went to Vrindavan with the idea of going to the top of Govardhan Hill and jumping off from there and committing suicide. However, he met Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis here, and they greatly pacified him. And being his elders, they told him that we instruct you to not do this because it is not proper. This is not your body. You must come with us. Stay with us as our brother. And let us all hear and chant about Krishna and hear and serve the divine couple together. So Raghunath Das Goswami was greatly pacified, and he continued to stay here in Vrindavan, for in Braja area actually, in different parts, for 40 long years. His sadhana was very, very strong. He would offer obeisances to Krishna 1,000 times a day, and it is also said that he offered obeisances to Vaishnavas 2,000 times a day and also embraced them. He would chant a minimum of 64 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day. He would recite Chaitanya Leela on the banks of Radha Kund for 3 hours at least every day. He would bathe in Radha Kund 3 times a day. He would serve the divine couple Radha Krishna mentally 24 hours every day. He would barely sleep for 1.5 hours every night, and sometimes he would even forget to sleep and forget to eat. He would take only one small leaf cup full of buttermilk, and sometimes not even that. At Radha Kund, he actually was the one who had the Radha Kund and Sham Kund excavated, and he had the bathing ghats made there. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Braja, he came to this area. At that time this area was called Arita Gram. Arita is an apabhransh. Apabhransh means a deviation from Arishta Gram. Arishta coming from Arishtasur. We will hear about this on Bahulashtami day, because when Krishna killed Arishtasur and the gopis chided him that he had performed Gohatya and therefore he should atone for his sin, and therefore Krishna beckoned all the holy places, and then Radha Kund came there. Sham Kund came also. That pastime we will hear on Bahulashtami. And because of that leela, that place became known as Arishta Gram or Arita Gram. And at that time when Mahaprabhu came here, it was only a paddy field, but there was some water there. So Mahaprabhu understood what this place was. He took bath there. And later on, eventually, when Raghunath Das Goswami came there, he excavated this place. One rich businessman who was on the way with a great deal of wealth, on the way to Badrinath, he stopped by in Radha Kund, because he said, Lord Badrinath, Lord Badri Narayan or Badri Vishal, he appeared to me in a dream and told me that all the money I have, I should give to this great Vaishnava Paramhans called Raghunath Das Goswami, so that the Radha Kund and Sham Kund may be excavated and wonderful bathing ghats may be built there. Earlier, Raghunath Das Goswami had been hesitant to get involved in management work. He was thinking this will disturb my bhajan. But then he understood that this was the desire of Srimati Radharani herself, that her kunda should be excavated by him. So then he did so. And the merchant performed this wonderful service here. And in the course of the excavation, he was going to cut down 5 trees which were on the banks of Radha Kund and Sham Kund. And these 5 trees were actually the 5 Pandavas who had taken birth here as trees in Braja to be in Radha Kund and Sham Kund. And as the tree was about to be cut down, Maharaj Yudhishthir appeared to him in a dream at night and said, please don't cut these trees, we five brothers are here wanting to relish the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami was horrified with the thought that he was actually going to cut those trees down. And then he gave the instruction that these trees should not be cut at all. On the bank of Radha Kund, he engaged in very intense devotional practices. It was here that Srinivas Acharya visited him, got his association. And at this time also, Janava Mata, on her tour from Bengal to Praja, visited Raghunath Das Goswami and offered her heartiest blessings to him. I would like to narrate a few pastimes that took place there on the banks of Radha Kund and in Govardhan area in the life of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. Actually, it is very, very inspiring and enlivening to hear about the life and teachings of these great Vaishnava Acharyas. And especially because these happened in the Braja area and we are here in Braja, so it is all the more fitting that we hear some of these pastimes. When Srila Rupa Goswami composed his Lalit Madhav, he gave the copy to Raghunath Das Goswami for reading. Now, Lalit Madhav is full of feelings of separation from Krishna. And when Raghunath Das Goswami read this, he became so overwhelmed with intense separation and grief that he was practically on the point of leaving his body. He wouldn't eat, he wouldn't sleep. And when all the other devotees there saw this, they immediately sent word to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami came there in great concern, wondering what to do. So he wrote another book called Dana Keli Kaumudi, which is full of banter and humor. Many humorous things mentioned there in Radha Krishna Leela. He wanted to revive Raghunath Das Goswami again. So he said, you see, I have to make some corrections in my Lalit Madhav, so please return my text to me. But here, I have another book for you. You may relish the pastimes here, so I can take back this book. Not understanding this very transcendental trick, Raghunath Das Goswami returned the Lalit Madhav and took the Dana Keli Kaumudi. And when he read that, he got absorbed in the humorous pastimes mentioned there. And then he became very satisfied and rejuvenated, and everyone was very happy again. At this time, he didn't have a fixed residence in Radha Kund. He would sometimes go to the banks of the Manasi Ganga where Gopal Bhatta Goswami used to stay near Govardhan. And one time, having taken bath in the Manasi Ganga, he went to do his bhajan in some thickets where there was some jungle type of situation with a lot of trees. And Sanatan Goswami happened to pass by. And he saw a most extraordinary sight, that a tiger came there, very close to where Raghunath Das Goswami was sitting. And Raghunath Das was so engrossed in his bhajan, in his internal meditation, that he didn't even notice or care about this tiger. Raghunath Das Goswami didn't care, but Sanatan Goswami cared. So after Raghunath Das came out of his trance, he told him, this is not proper. You can't tax Radharani to protect you like this. So you must at least build a bhajan kutir for yourself. At least build a hut. Raghunath Das Goswami had been reluctant to do anything for his bodily needs. He was so renounced. But he could not refuse the instruction of his superior, Sanatan Goswami. So he agreed. And then he lived on the banks of the Radha Kund. There also, it so happened one time that one very dear Brajabasi, who is known only as Das, I could not find his full name, he was just known as Das. And he would come and take association of Raghunath Das Goswami many times. And he would always wonder that how is it that Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, can survive on just a small leaf cup of buttermilk a day. He may leave his body. So one day when he was in a village called Sakhisthali, which is to the southwest of Govardhan. If you near Lota Baba Ka Mandir, if you go, then there is a road that goes towards the western side. So that village is there. So there he saw some nice silk trees which have huge leaves. So he said, this is a nice opportunity for me to make a big leaf cup for Raghunath Das Goswami. So he can take a lot of buttermilk, because he has taken a vow, he will take only one leaf cup of buttermilk. So I'll make a big leaf cup for him. So he came back and brought this huge leaf cup of buttermilk for Raghunath Das. But Raghunath Das Goswami saw this, he was surprised. He said, wonderful, but how did you get such a big leaf cup? Where did you get this leaf from? So Das replied, well, from Sakhisthali. Immediately Raghunath Das Goswami dropped this leaf cup. And he says, no, don't you know that that Sakhisthali village is the village of Chandravali, who is Radharani's competitor? As you know that there are two camps, there is Radharani's camp and there is Chandravali's camp. And Raghunath Das Goswami is of course in Srimati Radharani's camp. So sometimes the followers of Chandravali, they try to entice Krishna to come away from the Kunjas where he is with Srimati Radharani, to bring him to the Kunjas where Chandravali is situated. So then Radharani sometimes becomes a little anxious about this. So her gopi assistants and Manjari assistants also become a little anxious sometimes. So Raghunath Das Goswami said, no, you should never go there again. Don't go there. That's not a good place to go. So anyway, then poor Das, he had to be satisfied with the small leaf cups to offer to Raghunath Das Goswami. One time, Raghunath Das Goswami fell sick. And Vitthalnath, and this incident is described in the Bhakti Ratnakar, Vitthalnath called some Ayurvedic physicians from close by, from Pallapur. And the physician came and he examined Raghunath Das Goswami and said, this sadhu seems to be suffering from indigestion due to overeating of rice and milk. So Vitthalnath said, impossible. All this sadhu eats or drinks, he doesn't eat anything, he just drinks. Just one leaf cup of buttermilk. Actually, Raghunath Das Goswami would eat sometimes something when Rupa Goswami was there. But when Rupa Goswami departed, out of separation, he couldn't do that. And when Sanatan Goswami departed, he was so grief-stricken, he could barely eat a drink, even a little bit of buttermilk. So then Vitthalnath said, he doesn't even drink a few drops of buttermilk. So where's the question of rice and milk, sweet rice? So then Raghunath Das Goswami interjected and said, actually it's a fact. I took a lot of sweet rice because I was offering in my meditation to Krishna, and in my meditation I partook of this sweet rice Mahaprasad. So in his trance of meditation, mentally on the spiritual plane he had taken, not that he physically with his hands, with his external body, not that he had eaten like that, but in the trance of his meditation he had partaken of this. And so because in the spiritual plane everything is absolute, so therefore he developed this indigestion. So Raghunath Das Goswami lived here 40 years on the banks of Radhakund performing his bhajan, and then he departed from this world, re-entered the divine pastimes of Srimati Radharani and Krishna and Goloka. His samadhi is there in Radhakund, and also it is here in 64 samadhis area in Vrindavan. He has three major works. One is the Stavavali. The Stavavali is a collection of many, many wonderful works of his, including the Manashiksha and the Vilapa Kusumanjali. He also wrote the Sri Dana Charita, which is also called the Dana Keli Chintamani. And he also wrote another thin book called the Mukta Charita. In this way, Raghunath Das Goswami set the highest standards of renunciation in devotion. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentaries, he glorifies Raghunath Das Goswami's combination of renunciation and devotion. And he says that for Vaishnavas, we do not aspire only for renunciation. The test of renunciation of a Vaishnava is his or her attachment to Krishna. So Raghunath Das Goswami's renunciation was not the renunciation of that is seen anywhere else by any other sadhaka. But his renunciation was based on the most intense devotion to the divine couple, Radha Krishna. Today is also the disappearance day of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Again, there is not enough time to discuss in detail, so we'll discuss just a brief outline of his life and pastimes. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not manifested his devotional leelas, and when he was still known as Nimai Pandit, a great scholar, he went to East Bengal, the place now known as Bangladesh, because a Brahmin has to also maintain his family. He was newly married to Lakshmi Priya, the goddess of fortune, and being a great scholar, he went there to get some dakshina so he could maintain his family. In the course of his travels in East Bengal, he came to the banks of the river Padma, and there he met a devout Vaishnava Brahmana called Tapan Mishra. Tapan Mishra was himself a great scholar. He had read many, many great books and shastras. But in spite of this, he had not been able to ascertain the ultimate goal of life. So he was very much distressed because of this. And one night, a Brahmin came in his dream. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that a Brahmin came in his dream, and in the Chaitanya Bhagavata, it is said a demigod came in his dream. But either way, the Brahmin or the demigod came in his dream and told him that if you want the answer to your question, please go and meet this great scholar Nimai Pandit. He is directly the Supreme Lord himself, and he will tell you the purpose of life. Immediately Tapan Mishra rushed there, and he offered obeisances to Nimai Pandit and narrated his dream. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acknowledged that the dream was indeed true, and he preached to him the essence of the scriptures and the goal of human life. He said, Harinam Sankirtan is both the sadhan and the sadhya. It is the means and also the end for spiritual life. So one should constantly chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And this is the first time in the recorded pastimes of Mahaprabhu that he preached about the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And when he heard this good instruction, Tapan Mishra said, I want to come with you to Navadvip and live with you always. And Mahaprabhu said, no, you should go to Varanasi now, and I will join you there many years later. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita said, I feel bewildered in trying to understand the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Here was Tapan Mishra wanting to come and live with him, with the Lord, in Navadvip. But the Lord sent him all alone to the headquarters of the Mayavadis, Varanasi, to be all alone there for some mysterious purpose. So in any case, Mahaprabhu gave him this instruction and came back to Navadvip. Tapan Mishra moved to Varanasi. Much later, Nimai Pandit accepted sannyas. After taking sannyas, he moved to Jagannath Puri, but he also went to Vrindavan. On the way, he stopped at Varanasi. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that in Varanasi he had three devotees. One was a devotee called Chandrasekhar Acharya, at whose house he would reside. The other was Tapan Acharya, Tapan Mishra, at whose house he would accept prasadam every afternoon. And the third was Raghunath Bhatta, Bhattacharya, the son of Tapan Mishra. So Raghunath Bhatta, the son of Tapan Mishra, was only a small boy when Mahaprabhu came to Banaras, Varanasi. And he served him very nicely, very faithfully. After Mahaprabhu would finish his prasadam, then young Raghunath Bhatta would clean the floor. He would go into the kitchen, bring back so many things for the Lord to partake. He would massage the Lord's lotus feet. He would hear from the Lord and perform many, many kinds of menial services. And in this way he lived there for some years serving his parents. For some days he went also to Jagannath Puri. Totally actually Raghunath Bhatta lived for 28 years in family life, not married, but as a brahmachari serving his parents. When he went to Puri for a short while, he stayed for a few months, and Mahaprabhu instructed him that your parents are great Vaishnavas, so I want you to serve them, and at the same time, I do not want you to get married also. So he obeyed his instructions and returned. Mahaprabhu in the meanwhile also gave him a gift of his own neck beads. When his parents departed from this world and entered the eternal pastimes of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, Raghunath Bhatta decided to go again and get the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On the way, he was joined by one rich businessman called Ramdas Vishwas. This businessman took a very humble position in front of Ramdas, or in front of Raghunath Bhatta. Raghunath Bhatta became very embarrassed. He said, it is very embarrassing for me that you want to carry all my luggage and everything. But Ramdas Vishwas was so humble, he said, no, I am a Shudra and you are a Brahmana, so I must serve you. Ramdas Vishwas was always chanting the names of Lord Ram, always talking about Lord Ram. So Raghunath Bhatta was very happy in his company, and together they reached Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overjoyed to see Raghunath Bhatta. He embraced him and offered him all kinds of nice facilities for residence and prasadam and everything. But he didn't even indicate that he had seen Ramdas Vishwas. He ignored him. He favored him by his indifference. That was the way he offered his mercy to Ramdas Vishwas. And later Raghunath Bhatta understood why, because Mahaprabhu explained to him that latently, internally, this Ramdas Vishwas was a Mayavadi. That although he was chanting the names of Lord Ram, but internally he was contemplating merging into the impersonal Brahman. And then Raghunath Das was astonished to hear this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, as the Antaryami in the hearts of everyone, understood the heart of Ramdas Vishwas. So sometimes it is very difficult to understand who is what. Is someone maybe externally very devotional? Someone may be chanting constantly, but we do not know what is the conception they have in their own mind. One time I heard from one devotee, what is the definition of a Vaishnava? Of course, there are so many definitions. Even Mahaprabhu has given many wonderful definitions. But this Vaishnava said, a Vaishnava means he understands who is who. He understands the relative positions of everyone. He understands who are the demigods in relationship to Krishna. He understands who are the impersonalists, who are the pantheists, who are this and who are that, who are the genuine Vaishnavas. So the real Vaishnava, the advanced Vaishnava, can discriminate. He can distinguish between apparent devotees and real devotees. Even though externally it may be hard to distinguish. So anyway, Mahaprabhu then sent, he favored Raghunath Bhatta. Raghunath Bhatta stayed there. He cooked for the Lord. He served the Lord. And finally, the Lord ordered him to go to Vrindavan and take shelter of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. He said that you should study Srimad Bhagavatam. You should teach and recite Srimad Bhagavatam. When he was in Varanasi, Raghunath Bhatta had learned the Srimad Bhagavatam from a Vaishnava scholar. And in Puri also he would recite. So Mahaprabhu liked it very much. Raghunath Bhatta is especially known for his very sweet recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, I would like to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the last portion, just another 5 minutes. From the 13th chapter of the Anti Leela, where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes these few pastimes in the life of Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Mahaprabhu's instructions to Raghunath Bhatta. As previously, Raghunath remained continuously with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 8 months. Then the Lord gave him the following order. My dear Raghunath, on my order, go to Vrindavan and live there under the care of Rup and Sanatan Goswamis. In Vrindavan, you should chant the Hare Krishna mantra 24 hours a day and read Srimad Bhagavatam continuously. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will very soon bestow His mercy upon you. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Raghunath Bhatta, and by the Lord's mercy, Raghunath was enlivened with ecstatic love for Krishna. At a festival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been given some unspiced betel and a garland of tulsi leaves 14 cubits long, that's about 10 feet long. The garland had been worn by Lord Jagannath. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the garland and betel to Raghunath Bhatta, who accepted them as worshipable deities and preserved them very carefully. Taking permission from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Bhatta then departed for Vrindavan. When he arrived there, he put himself under the care of Rup and Sanatan Goswamis. When reciting Srimad Bhagavatam in the company of Rup and Sanatan, Raghunath Bhatta would be overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Krishna. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he experienced the symptoms of ecstatic love. Tears, trembling and faltering of the voice. His eyes filled with tears and his throat became choked, and thus he could not recite Srimad Bhagavatam. His voice was as sweet as a cuckoo's, and he would recite each verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam in 3 or 4 tunes, different tunes. Thus his recitations were very sweet to hear. When he recited or heard about the beauty and sweetness of Krishna, he would be overwhelmed with ecstatic love and become oblivious to everything. Thus, Raghunath Bhatta surrendered fully at the lotus feet of Lord Govinda, and those lotus feet became his life and soul. Subsequently, Raghunath Bhatta ordered his disciples to construct a temple for Govinda. He prepared various ornaments for Govinda, including a flute and sharp shark-shaped earrings. Raghunath Bhatta would neither hear nor speak about anything of the material world. He would simply discuss Krishna and worship the Lord day and night. He would not listen to blasphemy of a Vaishnava, nor would he listen to talk of a Vaishnava's misbehavior. In other words, even at that time, there were Vaishnavas who were misbehaving. He knew only that everyone was engaged in Krishna's service. He did not understand anything else. When Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was absorbed in remembrance of Lord Krishna, he would take the tulsi garland and the prasadam of Lord Jagannath, given to him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bind them together and wear them on his neck. Thus I have described the powerful mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by which Raghunath Bhatta Goswami remained constantly overwhelmed with ecstatic love of Krishna. So Srila Raghunath Das Goswami thus passed his days in Braja. He appeared in 1503 and departed from this world and re-entered the Nitya Leela of Radha Krishna and Goloka in 1580. So he lived for about 77 years or so. In Krishna Leela, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami is Raga Manjari. So on this disappearance day, we can all pray to the lotus feet of these great acharyas, Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, and Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, that they may bless us all with true renunciation and true devotion for the lotus feet of the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So we have finished just in time. for the Sandhya Arati. I thank you very much for having come here and listened some patience to these narrations. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai. Shri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami ki jai. Shri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami ki jai. Gopinanande Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.